Hello, everyone, and welcome to Uncle Phil's podcast. I'm your host for today, Uncle Phil, and with me today is no one. I'm all by myself today. I'm here to talk to you guys about sports in general, but I wasn't able to get a guest, so I'm going to do it on my own. Okay. The first thing I want to bring up is the New York Mets, okay? And the one thing I want to tell you about the Mets is before the season started, let's go back to last year. Everybody predicted because they won 100 and somewhat games the year before that last year they were going to be a great team, and I did not. I said they're relying too much on the old pitchers, and I just felt it wasn't going to be a good season for the Mets. I predicted 90 wins, which is even worse, right? Because they were like, you're looking at a 10-game drop. Well, they were even worse than that. They won 70-something games. So this year, I predicted 85 games. And what I said was, and the next time I have this on, my nephew John will be able to tell you I'm right. This is what I said. But I gave three reasons. I said, number one, they're going to be comebacks by people like McNeil, Marte, and believe it or not, Alonso. Alonso hit 40 home runs, but he hit like 210, 212, something like that. I said improvements in the young kids, Alvarez, Batty, and the pitching. It's going to be better than people think. Now, not everything is working, and not everything, and, you know, don't forget, we lost the first five games, but now we're looking pretty good. Let's see what happens. Alvarez getting hurt is really going to hurt, okay? But don't forget, we're going to get Sanger back, and that's going to solidify the starting rotation because people will sit there and say, well, maybe it's not going to be able to last the whole season. I agree. We're going to need other players, and that's what I think is going to happen. We're going to get Sanger back, and then they will make a trade at the deadline as long as we're competing for a playoff spot. The Yankees, on the other hand, I mean, they're trending downward, okay? They started out like a house on fire. Juan Soto's hitting bombs. Stanton's got five home runs. By the way, I picked them on both my fantasy teams, okay? But you know what? I just don't know how they're going to do without Gerrit Cole. If he, you know, he's throwing now on a flat mound. Not even a flat mound. He's just throwing. It's going to be a while, but if he comes back, they have a good shot to be a good team. But there are a lot of old guys in that team too. DJ LeMahieu hasn't been good for a couple years. I mean, you know, everybody keeps saying we got DJ. He's going to be good. No, you don't really have DJ. You can't rely on these old players. It's just not there. Yesterday was an exciting day for New York sports. I mean, the New York Knicks, they were in their playoff game against the 76ers. And I got to say, I picked the Knicks to win. But I was a little worried. Joel Embiid was insane in that first quarter. He was dominating the game. The Knicks do not have an answer for him. He hurt his knee, and then the Knicks made a comeback, okay? They win the game. Josh Hart hitting threes like crazy. You got to love Josh Hart. I mean, you got to love him. I mentioned him on the last podcast with my nephew that I thought he was getting 20 points a game, and it ended up he wasn't. But every game I watched, he was doing great. Brunson did not have a great game. He was okay. But we'll see what happens. Game two, they got to go out there and win on the Garden. All right, next. The New York Islanders played yesterday, and everybody knows I'm a big New York Islander fan. And I'm watching the game, and it's 1-1 going into the second. And the second period was dominated by the New York Islanders. They had point-blank shots, Barzal, Palmieri. They hit the post numerous times. Norton hit the post. Noah Dobson. Hit the post, you know, and I turned around to my friend Joe Gargano. I texted him and I said, you know, when this happens in hockey, the next thing you know, there's a bad bounce and you lose the game. Shot from the point, it's the Islander defenseman and the shoulder falls down, gobbled up, goal, game over. They can compete with this team, but it's going to be very difficult to beat the Carolina Hurricanes. They just can't miss open shots like they were missing. And by the way, Frederick Anderson was great. I mean, the save he made on Noah Dobson, it can't get better than that, all right? So let's see what happens game two. All right, what else we got going? Oh, by the way, Shout out to Sean Goggins scoring a goal for the New York Fire Department against the police. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is the Jets, okay? You cannot pick a tight end with the 10th pick of the draft. You cannot pick a tight end. I'm sorry. I don't care what he is. You cannot do it. You're going to have to trade down if you want Bauer. Otherwise, you go somewhere else. I'm sorry. You still need another receiver. I don't know if what's going to be there at 10. You got to see. If you want to trade up or trade down, you don't have a second-round draft pick, so I'm okay with trading down. I'd be disappointed. Every time you pick a tight end in the first round, it never works. We got Kyle Brady. It just doesn't work. A tight end, and plus they don't get paid what the other guys get paid. How are you going to do that with the 10th pick of the draft when the rookie contract's over? Cannot do it. The next thing I want to talk about is the Giants, all right? There's talk about the Giants going out and getting McCarthy or another quarterback that drops down. Bad idea. Bad, bad, bad idea. That's not what you do. I'm sorry. There's other needs. Again, you need receivers. I think number one receiver now is Slayton. You need receivers. You cannot go out and get a draft pick. A quarterback. You have a lot invested in Daniel Jones. And I'm not saying Daniel Jones is the answer, right? Because let's be honest. He had the good year that they went to the playoffs and won a playoff round. But every other year has not been good. We lost Barkley. We lost Barkley because we signed Daniel Jones. I don't get it. It's the same thing. Remember I was talking about the tight ends? They don't get paid. Well, the running backs don't get paid like that. But Barkley deserved it. He was the focal point of their offense. Let's see what happens. There's other needs, is all I'm saying, than a quarterback. If you sit there and tell me this guy that they're going to pick is going to be the franchise quarterback, it's one thing. They don't sit down and learn their trade anymore. They don't. If you look at the Jets, look at me. First-round draft picks are on quarterbacks. They don't pan out. You got to have a line. You got to build from inside out. That's never changed in draft picking for football. Never changed. I understand you need your franchise quarterback, and you know what? If you got the line, you're probably not going to draft high enough. Yada, 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 yada. Tom Brady was a sixth-round draft pick. They happen. The guy on the 49ers was the last pick of the draft. They're out there. If you build the foundation around it, you don't need to waste the top pick. They don't work out half the time. I'm 100% right about this. This is just stupidity. How does Phil Bracco from Staten Island know, and these people that are paid millions of dollars don't know? I know they address the lines. The Jets especially, they address the lines with older players, 30-something-year-old players on the tackles. I still go for a tackle or receiver. I do not go for a tight end. The Giants, same thing. You need to protect your lines. That's what I got to say on that. Last night was a boxing match. I did not watch it. I saw some highlights of it. And got to hand it out to Ryan Garcia for his win over Devin Haney. Knocked him down 3 times. One judge still had it as a draw. What was that judge looking at? You can't get a draw when you get knocked down 3 times unless the other guy was winning every other round. And from what I understand, that was not the case. I wanted to mention that just because boxing in that division looks really, really competitive. So that's that. I have one more thing I have on here, and I wanted to do this with somebody to talk about. But I'm just gonna mention it here, and the next time I have a podcast, I'll have a guest, and we'll talk about it. The injuries that are going on right now to the pitching staff in the Major League Baseball, this is a problem. Okay, this is a problem, and they're babying people from Little League. They're babying people from Little League all the way through to minor leagues. They're not strengthening their arms. They're all trying to throw 100 miles an hour. They're not learning how to pitch. If you looked at Tom Seaver pitch, he can hit the high 90s, right? With a different gun, don't forget, back then. He could hit the high 90s, but he pitched 92, 93, 91, 89. He had a curveball. He had a changeup. And when he needed that fastball and he needed to get it, he can throw it in the upper 90s, okay? That's how you learn how to pitch. They're not teaching the kids this. You look at their form. Noah Syndergaard, he was straight up. You're putting pressure on your arm. Use your legs. Your legs are important. That's what you use. Look at Tom Seaver when he pitched. His knee was dirty, okay? You drive off the mound and throw low. And the balls, it just doesn't make sense what they're teaching them. Now, they go and add a pitch clock, okay? And I didn't like the pitch clock because I understand the reasoning for the pitch clock. But these guys that throw really hard, they're not getting the time to take a rest. They can't walk around the mound, take deep breaths, go back on there. They're just constantly got to throw. They better learn some other pitches and learn how to pitch. Otherwise, they're all going to get hurt. I think in the article that I had picked out, they talked about 80% of the injuries were pitchers. And let me see if I can get that right now. Hold on. Where is it now? 79.5% of the players on the opening day IL were pitchers. Okay, it was 66.9 back in 19. If you go even further back, you're not going to see that. Okay, the average fastball in 2007 was 91.1, and now the average fastball is 93.9. That's the average, okay? If you look at the injured combined pitchers on the number of days on the IL, from 95 to 99, it was 11,007. In 2023, it was 31,003. What is that telling you, people? It's telling you that the sabermetrics aren't the answer, that you don't have to throw 100 miles an hour every pitch. You got to change things up. And if the people don't realize this, this is going to be the ruination. Because I get it. Owners are paying a lot of money, so they want to look out for their investment. You can't sign a pitcher to a 10-year contract. They're not making it. You can't do it. As a GM, you got to be smaller contracts, and you got to say, okay, let's go out and let's learn how to pitch. Teach these guys from Little League, right? When I was coaching Little League, I didn't make them throw curveballs. I told them, you got to throw a fastball. You got to throw a fastball and spot your fastball. Then you start learning how to throw a changeup, okay? You don't throw curveballs. You do that. You throw every other day, okay? I also made sure the kids didn't get hurt because if they were pitching Little League and I had a travel team, I didn't pitch them the next day. If they pitched yesterday, I didn't pitch them. I said, I'll pitch somebody else. You go into the minor leagues, there's a pitch count. I mean, come on. Some of the best pitchers of yesterday used to pitch 140 pitches. You can do it if you learn how to pitch and don't overthrow, all right? Let's learn the right form, learn the balance. Let's learn how to pitch. That's pretty much what I got to say. It's a very short podcast today, and I want to, just wish everybody a happy and healthy weekend. So